Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
The first thing I want to talk about is injection centres. And the latest delay to plans for a permanent injection facility in Dublin city centre will cost lives, it's been claimed. And the High Court last week set aside permission granted by Embord Pleanála for provision of the medically supervised injection centre at Riverbank Building in Merchants Quay after a judicial review proceedings taken in by a local school. In a statement, Merchants Quay Ireland said it would be considering the judgment with its legal team. We remain committed to the opening of a medically supervised injecting facility as part of a health-led approach to addiction. They said there is a clear need for the facility. These services save lives. The local Green Party representative insisted that a medically supervised facility would offer safe, secure space for people injecting heroin, and warned that the court decision to overturn approval could cost lives. Dublin South Central TD Patrick Costello said that such centres were proven to reduce overdoses and can help stop the spread of needle-related diseases. Now, there's a bit of to and fro on, because a lot of people believe they're not a good thing and some people believe they are a good thing. And if you look online, by the way, there's pros and there's cons to injection centres. Councillor Michael Pidgeon, who represents the Southwest Inner City, said people in addiction were once again being denied basic safety. Now, this is, of course, because the planning permission has now been refused. You know it was granted back in 2019, but now it's been refused on appeal. The petition has also been set up online to reverse the decision and to overturn the planning permission to the nation's first safe supervised injection centre at Merchants Quay. But I want to hear your opinions tonight. Now, proponents of such centres argue that they help to alleviate the problems associated with the injecting on the street, including drug-related litter. And there are over 100 such clinics in the world. The first one was in 1986 in Switzerland. It opened up. However, others think it's simply just facilitating drug use. Some people have a theory that it increases crime in the area. You also have to have an area around the injection centre where it's legal, I suppose, to deal in drugs to some degree. Because where are they going to get the drugs? Or be in possession of drugs, at least. Because where are they going to get them? Because if somebody is walking to the injection centre and has heroin on them, you can't very well arrest them, even though it's an arrestable offence. So you have to allow, you know, I suppose a certain radius within the injection centre for people to be in possession of Class A drugs, which is illegal. Mind you, if we look at the carry-on over the last 5 days in this country in relation to funerals, it's obvious that we disregard the law on a regular basis when it suits us. And I'm sure most of you have been watching that online or received videos in relation to the funeral of those three men that died in the car crash, and the behaviour of the people who supported them, and the behaviour of people who wanted to give them a good send-off. I'm all for giving people a good send-off, but the behaviour of people on Thursday, Friday and Saturday, from stealing a hearse and people running and flying around on motorbikes with no helmets on and cars doing all sorts of carry-on, I have never seen such a circus in all my life. Absolute and utter circus is what it turned out to be. And I don't understand, and maybe I get to some degree why the guards might say, oh, you know, let's just turn a blind eye to that. I mean, have you seen the videos? It's outrageous in a housing estate that people can fly up and down on motorbikes, do all sorts of wheelies and all sorts of carry on with no helmets on them, can steal a hearse, can be chased down the streets in a hearse, have the guard a helicopter overhead and guards around, but nobody actually gets arrested. It's a constrained situation. And there's two trains of thought on it. They should have went in and arrested a load of people for breaking the law. And the other one is that you just leave them at it and hope that the law just go off peacefully. Anyway, it was a despicable display of horribleness. That's all it was. Anyway, do you support the idea of drug injection centres? Yes, you do support them, or no, you don't. Now, I'll go to the pros and cons with you in a few minutes. But as people make the conversation, I probably will. I mean, they're supposed to... I suppose the supervised environment reduces the spread of disease, reduces crime, according to some of the stats. Therapy section, which means they can obviously offer options to drug addicts for, you know, different therapy. And also the drug users feel safer themselves doing it there. They have safe drug preparation, which means clean needles, etc., etc. And it's a stepping stone to treatment, reduces overdose, seemingly. But I suppose the problems, or so to say, the cons in relation to it, people will believe that it encourages drug use, because basically you were, I suppose, enabling drug use, discourages treatment according to some people. It challenges the law because, of course, the law has no power, because the guards are not going to arrest somebody going in possession of drugs, because they can't really, because that would defeat the purpose of the whole thing. And also there's biased studies on safe injection. Some experts argue that several studies and research studies about safe injection sites prevent deadly diseases and overdose are unbiased and unreliable. Increased violence. Opening a safe injection site has changed the neighbourhoods to the worst, according to some people, and the drug addicts become extremely violent in order to get the drug. They can beat people up, etc., etc., to get money. And they're expensive. So there is pros and there are cons, according to many people. And I want to know what side of the fence you're on. Do you believe they should revisit this in the courts and give them planning permission to open an injection centre? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. On this beautiful Monday night. Dermot, good afternoon to you.
Good evening to you. How are you? Nice to have you back, old son. You had a good holiday.
I enjoyed my week off. Yeah. Didn't do anything special. Just, you know, went out a few day trips.
Hold on. No, just excuse me. No, I was just getting in my car. There's some fucking header with a alarm going off in his car. Sorry, now we're gone.
That's all right. I thought there was a circus happening in the background.
There's always a circus up in this neck of the woods, I promise you. Ah, oh, here we go again. Bear with me for 2 seconds. I get into the car out of this noise. Jesus Christ, I'm ready. Now, anyway, you were saying about the injection center.
Yes. Go on, Jeremy. Do you think it's a good idea?
Do I think it's a good idea? Yeah, what I said to the guys was... Yeah, I think we're in. What I said to the guys was this. I don't have a major issue with it, but not being obviously involved in drugs, I can't really understand it. But if you have to have one, I suggest you have one outside of the population, outside the city centre. Merchant's Quay, I'd have passed Merchant's Quay on a regular basis, and it's an absolute nightmare.
I've passed by it. And you will see a few people sitting around on the steps. Now, maybe I'm just passing by it at the wrong times. I'll see one or two people sitting down on the steps outside Merchant's Quay there. You need to format the card on your dash cam there, by the way, as well.
Format the what?
You need
to hear all that?
Yeah, you need to format the memory card on your dash cam. And here, when I tell you, right?
All right,
I'm psychic, okay? And I'm going to tell you the brand name of your dash cam. It's a Thinkware.
You're bloody right. How did you guess?
Because I have exactly the same one, and it's so irritating when that happens all the time.
It is in my game. If it's a private car, it's not a major issue, because it's just you and your family or whatever getting in. But in the public thing of a taxi, when I start the engine, it's turned off. But somebody gets in, it turns on. And next minute, they hear this thing going.
Three times. She says it three times every time you start the car.
Wrecked my head.
I know. And then you're trying to press the format button. You're trying to find it and press it at the right time so you can format the bloody thing.
I know. It's a pain in the hole. But look, at the end of the day, I've never had to.
Well, I have. And then, you know, they're worth every penny. And to be honest with you, there's just a personal recommendation. I'm not doing any advertising here, but Thinkware are definitely, without a shadow of a doubt, one of the best dash cams around.
They are, absolutely. And like I always said, and it's another subject on cars.
Right, getting back to injection centres anyway. Sorry, yeah. Yes. So what have you witnessed on Merchant's Quay?
I haven't witnessed a whole lot because I don't really park there. I don't, it's just, if you get caught in traffic there, I'm picking up from the hostel. There's a hostel or some sort of a hostel close by on Merchant's Quay to this where all these people congregate. And it's just messy. They're loud. They're sitting around. They're roaring at each other. They're fighting the whole lot. I just find it's okay. If you have tourists walking along, it's a tourist attraction area along the quays, and you come across all these people, and they're invariably a pain in the hole because they're just fighting and giving out and sitting around and smoking and.
I've seen that behaviour on the boardwalk, all right, yeah.
You do see a lot of it, and well, okay, if they're on the boardwalk, they're doing their own thing, and that's down to the guards to deal with that. But if you're putting a designated injection centre in an area, it's the obvious thing is, who is it going to be for? It's going to be for unfortunate people who are
addicted to drugs. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're not going to be your average person. They're going to be, they are pretty much down and out, pain in the arse, loud, fighting, all this sort of carry on. So if you were going to build one, try and find some sort of a green space outside of Dublin and have some form of
shuttle bus. But the argument would be if you did that, it makes it inaccessible for those people. But I suppose you are right in a sense that, look, that most likely they're all unemployed who are in that situation and visiting injection centres. So it shouldn't be a big difficulty for them to relocate to somewhere, you know, where I suppose they can do that safely. But I don't know whether the average drug addict or heroin addict is going to go out of his way at all to go to an injection centre.
No, I don't think so either. I don't think so. I don't know if it's a... It's you could try it, but I think it's a waste of time in a lot of cases. Now, the only thing about it is if they're getting free needles and they're more than likely probably getting free drugs. Is it,
no, they know they don't get the drugs for free.
They have to bring their own drugs.
They have to bring their own drugs, yeah.
And they just, and it's just
they get free needles and it's supervised. They'll have a health professional there, of course, to give them any help that they need to inject.
Oh, good Jesus. No, I don't. To be honest with you, tonight, I think that's a waste of time. I don't think that's going to...
Well, the original objection, of course, was because it was beside a school. You know, and they didn't want children seeing it.
Yeah, and if you don't mind me asking, where exactly do you have this place planned for?
Well, it was at the Riverbank building in Merchants Quay.
It's on Merchants Quay?
Yeah, the Riverbank building there, just down there on the left, across the road from the forecourts. Yeah.
Well, that's where it is at the moment.
Yeah, but that's where it was going to be. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much where they all congregate at the moment.
Yeah.
And it, as I say...
Well, that's where they get at the moment. That's where the methadone is given out there and stuff like that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what have you made? They're just going to turn this building...
Into a safe injection centre where they will be allowed to go in and inject themselves. At the moment, they're not allowed to do that because it's illegal, essentially.
Yeah.
You know. So, but they want to turn it. So they'll have cubicles in there where they can go in and inject themselves. Now, obviously, it'll make it busier. It means a lot more people will be going to it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's where the problem is.
Yeah.
It's very unfair. It's very unfair on the, now, I'm just trying to figure on Merchants Quay. What else is there other than the hospital is on the left hand side as you go out, and then you have that building, and then beyond that, you go up, and then you're up where you're up onto where the Brazen Head is pub and all that area.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really see a major problem in turning it into an injection centre. I've tried it and see what happens. But like I say, you're bringing people into this building. They're taking their heroin, and the doctors and all the staff are looking after them, and then they're going out to the street, stoned out of their head.
Well, that is unfortunately the joys of taking drugs, isn't it? I mean, but the argument is that's going to happen anyway. They'll just do it somewhere else. So, I mean, it doesn't matter whether they're injecting themselves in a car park in Fleet Street or inject themselves in an injection centre. They're still going to be out of their heads anyway. So that part is not going to change. But at least what they're saying is this is a safer way of doing it.
It's a safer way of doing it in a closed environment. But as soon as you've done it, off you go out. It's like going to the A&E in a hospital. As soon as you're sort of out, you walk. You're walking out back out into the public, stoned out of your head.
Yep.
And like I say, it's the general public that have to, walking along, have to deal with all these people.
And looking for your money for your next fix, of course.
And looking for the money down the road for the next fix and the whole lot. It's a lot of bollocks, to be honest with you, if I'm being straight about it.
Okay, well, we'll stay there for a second. Let me just go to Michael as well. Michael, you're in Ireland's Classic Hits. Michael, you've heard Dermot O so eloquently put it, basically saying it was a waste of time. Do you believe it's a waste of time?
I guess dirty needles off the street, so I'm all for it.
So you're all for it because it takes the dirty needles off the street?
Yeah, that's all I care about. I just want to be stepping over needles, or kids, or dogs stepping on needles.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that's not the only benefit. I mean, there are other benefits as well, that there's a possibility it could offer, I suppose, treatment programs too. You know what I mean? It could encourage maybe treatment programs.
Well, I suppose it can offer an environment. But, I mean, you know, in the world of reality, I mean, you could have fights and all sorts carry on.
I'm assuming they'll have to have security, yes.
Yeah, and I mean, it can be dodgy for the people walking there.
Yes.
I mean, I'm sure people in Merchants Quay handle the situation quite well or whatever. There'd be those types of people that would be doing it, but it could get messy. But I mean, at the same time, I mean, it could be an environment where it might encourage the addicts to think, because the addicts don't think, they're just going around looking for money for their drugs. So it could give them a little break to make them think. Well,
what about the disadvantage? What about the disadvantage that essentially what we're doing is enabling a crime? Like, we wouldn't open a pub. Like, we have a bigger problem with alcoholism in this country. You wouldn't open a pub with free alcohol to enable an alcoholic, would you?
I'm not giving them free heroin.
No, I'm just saying, you wouldn't open a pub. Well, we're not, but of course alcohol is not illegal. That's the point I'm trying to make. You know, you wouldn't open a pub to encourage drinking for an alcoholic. So why do we want to encourage something that's essentially a crime? And that's what people will argue.
I don't know. Look, all that moral grandstanding, I don't get it. And I don't care. I don't care about addicts. I just care about stepping on dirty needles. And, you know, it keeps the street clean, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not my job to be worrying about, like, people's life choices. Do you know what I mean? If that's their business, like, that's what they've chosen to do with their lives. I mean, if it does offer a way out for them, I wouldn't stand in the way. Do you know what I mean? If it does offer them support, and if it does offer them a kind of a respite where they can actually sit there and think, okay, I need to think now, and where's the next thing? Maybe there's a bit of a post on the wall or a treatment centre, or maybe there's something like that or whatever. And they can think, oh, maybe there is a way out. And there might be addicts who go in there all day long just to get a break, just to bang up and back out on the street or whatever, and that's where they'll do it.
Can I ask, is there injection centres run anywhere else in Europe?
Oh, yes. Well, there is. The first one was in Switzerland, and they have them in Canada and other places around Europe too.
And how successful are they?
Well, that's open to question. I mean, they, you know, the people who obviously advocate for them say, yes, they're a great idea, and there is pros and the cons, but there's also, you know, arguments out there that they're not a good place, that they're not a good thing for an area. You know, that they sustain addiction, for example, they encourage drug use, they increase violence. Opening safe injection centres has changed neighbourhoods to the worst, according to some people. They're expensive. And they also violate the law, because essentially what we're saying is, although it's illegal to be in possession of Class A drugs, when you're hanging around this site, you can do that and you can break the law and you're okay.
Well, it'll have to be legislated for, and the law will have to change to allow it to happen. It can't be an illegal place, because the law would be in it straight away.
Now, according to some research, it reduces the possibility of overdosing, because, of course, they're being supervised. Now, that has been challenged, that particular piece of research, as being biased. But anyway, it's a stepping stone to treatment. So, in other words, once they go in there, they might want to look for help, and there'll be somebody there to maybe offer them how to help them get on a program. You know, they can make sure that, I suppose, they can have their drugs checked to make sure they're legitimate. Because, you know yourself, as they did with some of the gigs years ago, they used to check the ecstasy to make sure it was genuine, you know, to make sure it wasn't dangerous. So there's pros and there's cons, I suppose. But the only thing is, most people say, well, not, and this is what local businesses are saying, not in my back garden. That's fine. Yeah, do it somewhere else, but not here.
They're doing it
anyway. I totally and utterly agree with any business person anywhere close to something like that of majorly objecting to it. Because
there's such needles, Dermot, outside businesses in the city centre now. Like, and they don't seem to be bothered with that.
Yeah.
I bought past 40 needles and all sorts of carry on. And,
yeah, well, I suppose in the city centre, just from the knowledge of the city centre, if you're going to fuck one of these things somewhere, I suppose Mercer Quay is as good a place as any, because I'm trying to geographically figure it, is there any businesses beside it other than you walk up and you have the pub on the corner and then you have the Brazen Head on the other side of the road. But other than that, and going back down city side, you're down onto Wood Quay then, at the council offices at Wood Quay and all that. But I don't see any actual businesses there around anywhere near that place. But as it stands at the moment...
They could be shooting up on Grafton Street. They could be shooting up on Cape Street. They could be shooting up Thomas Street. They do shoot up on Thomas Street. They could be shooting up anywhere. And they'd be leaving their needles there. But maybe they leave their needles in the injection centre instead of... Well, I'm sure they'll continue to shoot up on the streets, but there might be less needles.
I would try it. I would definitely give it a go and see what happens. And as you say, if it does get a few people off this goddamn drug and help some on the way, well, yeah, I'd be all for it. But it would be a congregation of virtually most addicts in the city would be heading in that direction. Now, whether or not they would trust going in with their drugs, probably, you know, when these guys are out of their head, you start to think, well, I'm going in with these drugs, are they going to water them down, are they going to take them off, what are they going to do? I'm not going anywhere near that place, you know. So I'm not sure how successful it would be knowing the mindset of the people that they're trying to help, you know. I'm just not 100% sure. But, yeah, I would probably give it a go and just check it out and see what way it goes, you know. That's all I could say.
I mean, Michael, I know you're kind of in favour of it, but would you like it, you know, in your neighbourhood?
If it's done discreetly, I mean, there is, you know, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of an oil boiling show caller, so I won't say where I'm at. But there is a Foy Centre. There was a Foy Centre. It was knocked down, and they went in and got a Foy, it was a Mondays or something. And it's grand. They go in, they come out, and it was a couple of days, and it was no bother, you know.
Okay, well, stay there both of you a second. Let me just go to Anthony as well. Anthony, you're Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you doing, Anthony?
Hi, Niall. Welcome back.
How are
you?
Thanks very much. Anthony, now, you used to work in addiction services of some description, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did.
And do you think this kind of centre, you know, in the middle of a city, I mean, look, it's been done worldwide in Europe and across Canada and different places. Do you believe it's valuable?
Well, first of all, I'd have to say we have to stop comparing ourselves to other countries, because the Irish attitude to everything is more, and even more on top of that. So we have a different mentality. And the example that I would look at, to be quite honest with you, is the methadone program that's been rolled out for a long time now, and that's hardly been a rip-roaring success. So why would we do even more for a government, for a country that's boasting it wants to have a tobacco-free Ireland, like, God forbid you'd smoke a cigarette, and they want to put up the price of alcohol, but, oh, we want to make it more comfortable now. We want to have a little leather couch for you to lie down to inject yourself. I don't think
so. So you think it's enabling the problem?
Of course it is. Sure, I mean, like I said...
Yeah, but I mean, what Michael is saying is... I mean, I'm not disregarding what Michael is saying, that he's not really that much in favour of them, but believes it makes maybe the city a safer place because you're not going to be walking on somebody's used needle. Because, in other words, you know, you can't just close your eyes and go, la, 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 it's not happening, you know what I mean?
Well, I know, but you don't actively encourage it either, do you?
But no, personally, I wouldn't. But, I mean, Michael is... I can see the point Michael is making. Sorry, Michael, what are you saying?
An injection centre isn't encouragement.
It's not encouragement.
No, it's not encouragement. That, like, if you go out and ask anyone who's not on drugs, what inspired take drugs? Was it the injection centre? No. It's a kind of people end up on drugs through, I don't know, through a process.
Well,
you know, it takes time to get to a full blown heroin addict. I don't think any heroin addict out there in the city or in any part of the country is there because there was an injection centre. No, I'm not.
I mean, you are. I mean, I respect your opinion. You're entitled to your opinion.
But I think it's encouraging. We're having a conversation. How is it encouraging? So in what way would it be encouraging?
Because you're kind of normalising it. Someone is going to walk down the street with an illegal substance, something that's illegal. The guards can't stop them. And if they do stop them, they'll say it's for their own personal use.
But the guards have fallen back on harassing addicts because it was such a hassle.
I get the point you made. The guards are basically not arresting people, generally speaking, for small amounts of drugs.
Well, did you think the methadone program was a success up to now?
I don't think the methadone program was a success.
I don't think it is. I think that the methadone program just replaces one drug with another, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think... In terms of the question that I was asked, there was no hassle coming from the addicts that were going in and out of the building. That's what I saw. But as in terms of, do I think methadone is a good thing? Absolutely not. I don't think any of these drugs are a good thing. I mean, I'd rather see no one take drugs, but that's not how it is. Like.
Can I get in there for a sec?
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, James.
Yeah, I have to agree with Michael on this one, Anthony. You're in Cork, Anthony, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, up here in Dublin, I'm out on the streets so pretty much 7 days a week. Let me tell you, the amount of down and outs of drug addicts in Dublin, particularly from around, sort of, we'd say this time of the evening, 7, 8, 9 o'clock in the evening, they all sort of come out, and you see them when the general population, when it quietens down, with the general population not around, and you really get to see the amount of them that are around. And enabling an injection centre is not going to make you, me, or anybody else take up drugs because we can legally go down and inject this. I don't believe that's the situation, but it is a mess at the moment. The guards are doing nothing, absolutely nothing. The boardwalk up here on the Liffey is a disgrace, particularly late at night. And the guards have no interest in dealing with these people because they get no... what is the point in a guard approaching one of these guys or girl? Because they're going to get no joy out of them. They don't care. They don't live within the law.
Well, it's a kind of a waste of the court system. You bring them before a judge and the judge just gives them another suspended sentence for being in possession of Class
A
drug.
Cork is no better, really, Dermot, to be quite honest.
Sorry, Anthony?
I said Cork is no better, to be quite honest with you.
Well, no, but head of population is probably the same, yeah.
Dublin,
yeah.
We are only traipsing behind you. And there's all this boasting now about all the streets being pedestrianised and people having outdoor eating and that and all this, that and the other. I know of three people that were robbed. One woman, her handbag was robbed.
Yep.
Another guy, his phone was robbed while he was outdoor eating. And, we know who was doing the robbing. And there's an area around the city, around the GPO in particular, and around Oliver Plunkett Street, which just seems to be a mecca for them. And they're everywhere. And, you'd spot them a mile away, like. So, I mean, Cork is just as bad as Dublin. It's not too far behind it, if it's not equal to it, to be quite honest.
Well, I mean, I'm just looking here. The chairman, or chairwoman, should I say, of the Cork Local Drugs and Alcohol Task Force has said public drug injection has not gone away, despite a court ruling halting the long-awaited plans for the Safer Injection Centre in Dublin. Colette Kelleher said it was a real setback for Cork too, as the local task force campaigned for a similar facility in the city. So they want one there too.
Oh, no. Well, I don't know. Everyone is entitled to their own opinion. But I think, it's just complete hypocrisy. A government, like I said, that they want a tobacco-free Ireland in another couple of years, and they want to put up the price of alcohol, but they want to make it more comfortable for people to take heroin.
And the thing about it is, that there's another point to this. I don't know what legally would be. What's the legal insurance situation? That if somebody goes into an official injection centre that the government now are running, for want of a better word, or the HSE is running, and somebody goes in and they inject themselves, you give them their needle, inject themselves, they walk out and they're knocked down outside by a car, can they claim
I would imagine there is something there indemnifying them. They would have to have indemnity.
Yeah.
You know, what would happen if somebody went in and took drugs in there and died from just taking the drugs? There would have to be an indemnity of some description, insurance.
Absolutely, and that's a major problem. That would be a major problem. And who's going to insure that? What insurance company is going to insure that building?
I mean, let me get back to Anthony. Anthony, from somebody who's worked in the business, so to speak, or dealt with those situations and addiction, what is the answer? Because it's not going to go away. You have two options here. You enable it and help it and do it in a safe way, which is what injection centres are all about. Or you turn around and you say, right, let's just arrest everybody with Class A drugs and put them in jail. And let's try and discourage it with the long arm of the law. So, I mean, what is the right way to do it?
Well, you never help anybody that's addicted to anything, be it gambling, alcohol, whatever, heroin, whatever. You never help anybody by giving them more of what they're addicted to.
That seems to make very much common sense to me, but I'm not an addict, or I'm not somebody who deals with addicts.
That's just common sense, really, isn't it?
It is common sense, but the thing about it, the point is, Anthony, that they're not giving people drugs. They're giving them needles. That's all they're giving them. They're not giving them 1 ounce of heroin for going in there. So this idea that they're enabling them by, if they were giving them free heroin and blah, 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 then yeah, I'd say absolutely it's disgraceful. But they're not supplying them with any drugs. They're just supplying them with clean needles. And as Michael said on the other line there, it may stop people from walking on needles that they find on the side of the road.
Well, Dermot, I do like your opinion and I do agree with you most of the time, but I'll have to disagree with you on this one because I just think, once again, go back to the methadone program. And I know people that were on the methadone program and they were actually selling their methadone and still using heroin.
He said, no one's getting free drugs here. It's a room to stick. People are taking drugs, they're taking their own drugs, and they get needles, and it's a clean environment, and it's know, stopping the needles from being...
I can just picture it, probably a lovely leather couch and lie down with, and you get an easy...
I don't think it's like that, Anthony, in fairness. Let's not be too flippant about it. I mean, it's a cubicle, I suppose. And when you walk in, somebody hands you clean needles in a bag, asks you what you have, they'll test your drugs if you want them to test it, to make sure that your drugs are not poison.
To be fair, Anthony, neither... I'm not going to speak for Michael, but I listen to him, I think... He's on the same thing as me. Well, I totally disagree with you. I personally would rather if he didn't have one. And I would, I certainly, if it was anywhere near where I lived or whatever, I would not be impressed to have it where it invited people off drugs into that area. But the problem is, I don't particularly like the idea of it, but it is facing us. It's on our doorstep now. What do we do about it? But I just don't. I'm just not 100% sure it would work, because it could get overrun by drug addicts. And what hours does it open? What hours is it closed? What's the story with staff?
That is an important factor, by the way. And I don't know if they've mentioned that or have announced that, because I would hate to think this would thing would be open at 10 and 11 o'clock at night. So I would like to think it's any kind of, I don't know, 8 in the morning.
Niall,
six.
People who are addicted, they don't have a time. They don't have a body clock.
You're right on there. I've often driven in Dublin City at 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I've seen some sites. So at the end of the day, people shoot up 24 hours a day. If this centre was open at 8 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock in the evening, I don't think that would make a whole lot of odds one way or the other. I just don't think it's going to work, Niall, to be honest with you. I think it's going to... they'll trial it, but I think it'll fail.
Okay, let me just go to Jimmy as well. It's not getting a lot of positive vibes tonight. Jimmy, you're an Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you doing, Jimmy?
Hiya, Niall. Good.
Good. Jimmy, I mean, according to the experts, these things are great places. You know, they supervise environment, reduces the spread of disease. You know, it makes the drug users feel safer. It hopefully gets them onto a program, and it reduces overdose, according to statistics. But yet everybody seems against it.
No, nonsense. Sure, you could say the same about people who have problems with alcohol. Open up free pubs, let them go in and sit down and drink away that good old boy. You don't have to beg on the street. You don't have to be like dishevelled. We'll give you a lovely apartment and everything. Just drink away there. You're all right.
But that's not what they're saying. That's not what they're saying, in fairness.
No, but it's a similar thing for heroin. Like, they're saying, okay, you come on, lads, in. We'll give you heroin.
No, let's be clear about it. There's no suggestion they're giving free drugs to anybody.
No.
You have to score your own drugs before you go in.
Oh, yeah. Where do you get the money for them?
Well, they have to, obviously. We all know how drug addicts get money, generally speaking.
Listen, and the lovely name then, an injection centre. What a beautiful, harmless name for heroin, a demon of a thing. A lovely demon. You're going to give that to the people. You've got to deal with what's causing. The new drug in Ireland now is a very frightening one called crack cocaine. Gives them a high for 3 or 4 minutes. Then they want to go in more. They'll kill for crack cocaine. That heroin is an evil thing and a bad thing, but it doesn't make them as violent as this new drug. What are you going to do? Give them centres to go in and take crack cocaine and snort cocaine as well? Why are you picking heroin?
Well, I suppose we see the heroin problem more so on the streets, don't we?
Yeah, but you're starting to see the crack. And I tell you what's happening in Ireland. Crack addicts who live in the countryside are being given free bus passes to travel to Dublin and into Limerick and Cork. And the authorities want to keep crack cocaine out of the rural areas because they know the devastation. They've seen it in London.
Crack cocaine has been around for a while, Jimmy. It's not a new thing.
It's been around for a while, but it's spreading. Coke, there's never been as much of it.
Well, cocaine seems to be the drug of choice for those who can afford it, by the way.
Yeah, and it's cocaine is cheap. It's like wine. Cocaine is cheap until you start using it every day, until you develop a habit, and then it isn't cheap. But the problem with this is nonsense. More nonsense being talked in the Dáil and talked everywhere else about injection rooms. Give the people places to live. It's everything to deflect from the real issues in this country, and people fall for it. Housing.
But according to politicians, and I'm only reading what they're saying, is they remain committed to opening the medically supervised injection facility as part of a health-led approach to addiction, and they believe that the services save lives.
Oh, they believe. Of course they do. Ming Flanagan bragged, well, he was a TD in this country, there were 25 drug users in Dáil Éireann. Get into Dáil Éireann, drug test them, and get them 25 out for a start. Go into An Garda Síochána and there is a drug problem, a cocaine problem in the guards, and An Garda Síochána are objecting to random drug testing.
No.
Why are they objecting?
Niall?
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, did you, that last piece you came out with, that the legislation that the government were saying that it would save lives, how did they come out with that theory?
Well, according to research, now again, can I just point out that the naysayers say the research is biased, by the way, but according to some research, it helps to prevent overdose. And also, I suppose, the very fact that somebody's going in there and is taking then whatever the recommended dose of heroin is. I couldn't tell you what the recommended dose of heroin is. Well, yeah, okay. Well, that's the whole idea of methadone. It's meant to be safer than heroin, even though it's still an addiction.
Niall, methadone is another lie, because I tell you what's happening with methadone. The drug addicts are getting the methadone and they're selling it to younger people who can't get it, yep. And they're overdosing, and it's a big problem.
Look, can you overdose on methadone? I don't know. I'm only asking. I'm absolutely ignorant of it.
It's a very strong drug. You can.
Okay, so the state, when we brought in methadone programs way back in the 70s, the state has basically replaced one drug with another drug that's cheaper for the state to provide.
Yeah.
That's essentially what we did.
No, methadone, what I'm saying is they're going out, they're being prescribed methadone, but they're not using it. They're selling it. And they're selling it to younger people who are drinking it with alcohol. Mm. And they're popping off here in this country, and it's been swept under the carpet. It's the taboo of our day, these drugs, illegal drugs.
Correct, yeah. He's perfectly right.
I know cases of it. I know friends who will happen to.
Yeah.
Can I ask all of you, have any of you ever taken drugs?
No, we're Dermot here, no. The amounts I've done, a bit like yourself, back in the dark days, back when I was a teenager, smoked a bit of Moroccan black and used to get that and roll it into a thing and get a good old high of it. But that's as far as it went. It never, thank Jesus, I never stuck a needle in my arm, and I never went anywhere down the road of heroin or coke or anything like that, and I never would. So no, not me.
Anthony, have you ever taken drugs?
Yeah, I smoked a bit of weed when I was younger, but only for a short time. I'll admit that, but I never touched class A drugs or hard drugs. Mm-hmm. Never appealed to me, to be quite honest.
I always felt if I ever done anything like that, I'd be the one that would die. That's the fear I always had, so I never did. Sorry, Jimmy, did you ever take any drugs in your life?
I'm not going to comment.
You're not going to
comment.
I will say one thing.
No comment. That Jimmy, do you drink? Do you drink, Jimmy?
I don't have any comment to make about any of that, because, as you know, if you say on this show anything tonight, it may be used against you on another
in
show.
In a court of law.
Not a court of law. It can be used.
Against you in a future show.
Yeah.
Jimmy, I assume you might have a glass of wine every now and again, would you?
No, I don't drink. Not that I have anything against people who do drink. I just don't drink. I don't enjoy.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't drink.
I don't smoke ganja. I know enough people. Look
at him, ganja, huh? You're not just weed, it's ganja.
And that man there talking about Moroccan black. I remember when they used to put the oil.
Did you mention Moroccan black?
No,
I did. Dermot here, I did.
Oh, all right, okay, sorry. Go on.
You remember in the 1980s here in Ireland, they used to get this thing called oil. I don't know.
Resin oil. Yeah, resin oil.
Yeah, and they used to put it on the cigarettes.
That's right, Jim.
And then nobody even bothered them. And then you see them then in 2 hours after and they're splatto. And you think it's drink. Like, it's like...
I remember a friend of mine actually had a little... It's like a little flint bottle. You know the little bottles that you see the flint in. And he'd had resin oil in it. And he'd dip a matchstick in it. And he'd run it along the top of a cigarette. Along the skin, as they call it, Jimmy.
Yeah, and he was like a badger then on a bike.
Now we need some Bob Marley music.
We do need a bit of Bob Marley music, don't we, Jimmy, huh?
One love.
Jimmy's a big fan, by the way, of Bob Marley. You know that, don't you?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah, Jimmy thinks he was born a Rastafarian in another life.
He could well have been, who knows?
Isn't that right,
Bob
Jimmy?
Bob Marley was a prophet of the Rastafarian religion. Haile Selassie, they think, is reincarnation.
And yet Bob Marley was one of the greatest drug men of all time.
Absolutely.
He died a very young man because of it.
I know some people who have gone to Shashamani in Ethiopia to the Mount Zion. That's the Rasta hill out there. And he said, you never seen anything like the dopes that has turned them into cannabis. Unbelievable. And that's what cannabis does to you. Smoke dope and become a dope.
Oh, brilliant.
Yes, man. I'd deal with that, man.
Yeah, man. ID, man. Go on, Jimmy. Do a bit of your Rasta talk there. Go on.
Bob Marley grew up in a wayward home in Jamaica. It was the Mercy sisters. It was the Mercy sisters in Jamaica who taught Bob Marley, Pete Tosh, Gregory Isaacs to play the guitar and encourage them in the rhythm of reggae.
And how? Here's the question: how did he die? Do you remember how he died? Cancer of the toe.
He died of cancer.
Cancer of the toe.
Was it the toe? Yeah. He got cancer. Yeah.
In his toe, he got cancer in his toe.
Yeah. Well, there's conspiracy.
I don't think.
There is conspiracies because of South Africa at the time. Bob Marley's music was banned in South Africa, and Niall, you know that other fella, Eddie Grant.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, their music was because Marley was seen as a threat to the apartheid state in South Africa.
Well, you're giving me a lot of lessons in history here, musical history. But go on.
There was conspiracies that Marley was given strong drugs to get him hooked and addicted to get rid of him. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of that conspiracy.
No, never heard of it. No, never heard of that. Yeah. But he played over here in not long before he died. He played in Dalyman Park.
Yeah. Good thing, Bob Marley.
Yeah, Bob Marley.
I don't know how I ever got connected to his music, but I like a lot of his get up, stand up, preacher man.
Yeah, it's a bit of a quandary, Jimmy, for a man that is anti-drugs, anti-smoking, anti-drink, the whole lot. The one music you're really into is reggae, which is rife with drugs.
Drugs, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yellow Man. You ever hear Yellow Man sing? I saw Yellow Man in London. Must be 30 years ago.
I can't imagine you at a gig, Jimmy, for some reason. I just don't know.
I'm not going to say. Did I say it was at a gig?
No. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Jimmy, it's been a hell talking to you as usual. Listen, thanks very much, Jimmy. Have a great night.
Listen, people, do not ever accept illegal drugs. And may God Almighty bless you all over the next. Enjoy the weather.
All right, yeah, thanks.
And listen only to Niall Boylan, because all other radio shows will do your brains in as well as drugs. Niall, God bless, and thank you for allowing me to have my say. Hallelujah, brothers.
Hallelujah, brother.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.